But let's talk about the important thing in this scene. Can we talk about the most important thing in this scene?
Dude, tell me, what's the most important thing about this scene?
Doug Jones!
Doug Jones!
I don't know what it's like to be in a dual child household, but this is a bit much, even for an 8-year-old.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, that's not true. I know a 10-year-old. I take that back. I fully retract that. That's on point. I just wasn't that kid.
So Zach goes over there. He makes nice. They come to a meeting of the minds. They hug. And then they get to this like fancy house.
I have a question. Yeah. I know we need to progress faster than this, but we all have siblings. Have you ever had a fight with a sibling and then had a coming back together moment that was this quick and this sweet and this full circle?
No.
Nights would go by without.
Years would go by. I can't imagine this. This doesn't exist to me.
If I threw that kind of a fit with my older sisters, we never went trick-or-treating as kids. We would pass out candy because we didn't want to be that house. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, you know, celebrate Halloween the way other people did. And so we would never go trick-or-treating. But if I did a dramatic throwdown of myself onto something, my family would just walk away.
I was this dramatic once and I lost my bedroom door for a month.
I remember. Your mom tells me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's wrong. She wasn't there. She was only the one delivering the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she doesn't listen to this podcast because it's something we very much disagree with. And this was 22 years ago.
Right.
Not 22 years ago. God, how old am I now? This was 26 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
Yeah.
Anyways, the idea of like being like, I see what you're saying and I understand. And now we can move on with the plot. I'm like,
doesn't happen in families. I mean, maybe in rich families where they don't have to struggle for, you know.
I don't know. It felt so unreal to me that I have to like remember that there are normal families out there. I've just never met any.
Right.
Hey, let's check out this house.
It's a rich, fancy house.
Rich people.
That's what Thora Birch says.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
So they go in. They open up the door and they say, trick or treat. I like to think that they knocked and nobody showed up. Mm-hmm. And so that's when they opened.
They could hear people inside. It was a whole thing.
Right. So, and then they go and get the candy.
Because there's a big cauldron of candy in the middle of the foyer.
So it's like in D&D where you see this dragon horde and you open up your bag of holding and you just start shoveling it all in.
And he's excited too. Yeah. It's very cute.
And he gave away his candy to the bullies
gonna get anything. He's gotta get it in there.
Mm-hmm. But then surprise crush, this is her house.
Allison walks down the stairs dressed as a debutante.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about the adults that are partying in the background?
Do you want to know what I call them in my notes?
Yes, and then I will tell you what I called them.
Okay. This is me not trying to slur anybody, okay?
Okay.
But I call it a room full of poofters.
I say, colonial eyes wide shut looks boring. Because they're all in like this colonial outfit, but they got masks on that make it look like they're an eyes wide shut.
the only thing that can make it worse is if Tom Cruise is like, let's bang. Lydia, how dare you?
And then Allison says, yeah, it's a pretty boring party.
She goes, Danny goes, oh, this is Allison, because she learned her name in the pillow sequence. And she's like, I really like your costume. Allison says, I like your costume. I'm really into witches. Danny goes, I really like your costume, but I could never wear something like that because I don't have any, what do you call them, Max? Yabos? And I know a lot of words for tits, but yabos is not on. It's not high. It's not high on the list.
You know, I think they were trying to make yabos a thing and it just didn't stick because it's too many syllables. Yabos. It just doesn't like tits rolls off the tongue. Boobies.
If you're lucky.
Hey, I was talking about the birds. OK.
Yeah. Blue footed boobies. Allison mentions that her mom used to run the museum for the Sanders sisters. And she goes, there's a Danny goes, there's a museum? And she goes, yeah. And then Max goes, well, what, take us there. And she's like, I don't know. He goes, prove me wrong, right? Make me a believer.
Right.
And she's like, all right, they'll never miss me. I'm going to go get changed. And then Danny, while she goes upstairs, Danny's like, I don't want to go there. The kids at school told me all about it. And I'm like, you just said, is there a museum? But like the kids already told you about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Disney makes sense.
And that's where the science breaks down. Ding!
You're not wrong. But they have a little back and forth. And he promises to dress up as Peter Pan with the tights next year for Danny agreeing to go to. She's like, I do like it when she's just like, can't you take her on a normal date to the movies? Like a normal person? And he's like, come on.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, it's not the greatest, but it's plausible. She had access to the keys.
I mean, I wonder if he's ever going to keep that deal because of everything that happens later on in the movie. I mean, he could very easily just kind of weasel his way out saying, you know, I could dress up as Peter Pan, but then last year I didn't have to save you from getting your life force sucked out of you. Which is like, oh, he brings that up every time. I want to go ahead and do something.
Here's the thing. Lion King's about to come out. He's going to be Rafiki. She's going to be young Simba. It'll be fine.
Right. So they go into this museum and it's covered in cobwebs.
They're walking up and Allison says, legend says that there's the bones of 100 children buried in the walls. And I'm like, again, easily checked facts. Is there a cat there every year for 300 years? Is there hundreds of children's bones in the walls? Science would tell you.
More than likely, a village just killed 3 women because they thought they were witches. That would be the likely.
That's the Occam razor for Jen. The likely solution is the murdering of women. For 1637, that's probably pretty right.
1693.
Because
it's 300
right.
years.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So as far as like the burning of witches, it's like, as we know in the year 2022, that a lot of the witch hunts were based in bullshit. This movie is fiction, and so it gives reason as to why they need to burn the women. Because there's always a reason in fiction as to why you need to burn your women.
Well, it's they hang them.
They hang them. Or, yeah, in that case.
That's fine.
Yeah. If she weighs the same as a duck, she must be a witch.
Oh my God, better. hey, this is where my Chekhov's lighter comes in.
Nice, because they get in there and Max does what?
Starts to commit theft.
He steals. He's like, oh, this is cool. So there's like cobwebs everywhere.
It's only been shut down for a couple of years, but it's covered in dust and so many cobwebs.
I know. Like the spiders just were having field days.
Yeah.
So Max like brushes away. He's like, oh, look at this cool lighter. And that's when Allison goes over to the book, starts talking about, oh, this is the book. And it was bound by the flesh of a dead man. It was given by Satan. Blah.
To Winnie.
To Winifred. Yeah.
Okay. But then, and this is where the science truly breaks down for me. The guy in the room asks about the candle.
The teenage boy.
Yeah, he's like, tell me about this candle over here. He might as well have like gone over and taken off the protective top and sniffed it and been like, winterberry. Like, yeah, okay. Okay, Max. Okay.
Unless there's a real reason that he's a virgin and he doesn't really like this girl. This is just a way for him to prove.
Allison's a beard?
this... At this point, this is when you tell everyone who's listening that the movie was directed by Kenny Ortega, who I believe is a gay man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm super cool with not sexualizing children, mm-hmm. So.
I mean, like, and there's this thing where.
But sexualizing children is not the same as orientating children.
Right. Like, I mean, teenage boys who are cis and straight can light candles.
Sure,
that's
sure,
a
sure,
fine
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right.
I was making a funny.
I know. It was a joke.
Like what you like.
You were punching up to all the teenage boys out there.
I mean, I've hung out with a lot of cishet dudes and none of them have ever been like, let's go smell candles.
Well, I mean, like maybe in privacy.
I've seen would a cishet say- man smell a candle.
Unless it's more, I mean, if it is the cis answer, it's like, I really want to set something on fire. Oh, hey, here's this candle.
Yeah.
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 Also, they had mentioned that if a virgin lights this candle, then it'll bring the Sanderson sisters back to life.
He's like, let's give it a try.
Right. And
then as he goes to light the candle, a cat attacks him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they acknowledge, by the way. Like, the cat jumps on him. He falls to the ground. He's like, hey, stupid cat. The cat runs away. And they never mention it until Salem shows up. Until Binks shows up again later. I'm like, if I got attacked by a cat, that would be the topic of conversation for at least a half an hour.
Do you remember when that cat attacked me? Yeah. Just came out of the blue.
Pitch bit my toe. Scratched my toe yesterday. And I, like, complained about it for at least 20 minutes. And this is when Max says that all of this is
hocus pocus.
And let's borrow our line from CinemaSins.
Roll credits. And so he lights the candle, and what happens with that flame?
Okay. It burns black, but because it's the black flamed candle. But I call this portion lights, floorboards, assholes.
So he lights the candle, and that's when you get like rumbling, and like the boards that are under him light up green, and they're like jumping up and down and everything. And everybody goes and hides, and then the door swings open, and we have the outlet of three women. And it's a really great entrance.
Yes.
It's so satisfying. And like at this point in my notes, I write, so you know that moment Disney makes a masterpiece by accident? And this is like, it's such a fun moment, because then you're getting like these three actresses who have really good chemistry together. They mm-hmm. know the parts they're supposed to be playing. They're really good actresses, but they understand the comedy aspect of it too. And so here we have the Sanderson sisters coming back to life, coming into their home again. They're like, oh, this is so great. And everybody's hidden and everything. And then Sarah like just stands by the door and then throws her hand up, and you're like, what the f*** is she doing?
Allison's behind the door. She's scared. She's about to be caught.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah grabs her lucky rat tail and she starts sniffing.
Just where I left it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we have Winnie go over, and she's like, she caresses the case that has her book in it. Mm-hmm. She's like, hello, tap, tap, tap. Wake up, sleepyhead.
Yeah.
It's real gross.
I kind of love it. Like, it's get yourself into a relationship with that's similar to the one that Winnie in the book has.
Brings new meaning to romance novel.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. She is a woman in the 1600s who is fascinated with knowledge. I mean, on some level, you have to admit, even though it's magic, mm-hmm. there's still like there's knowledge in there, and she's interested in it.
Educated, well read, yeah. practiced.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only been one book, but she's read that several times.
Yeah. Okay. So Mary smells the kid.
Right.
So they start looking Winifred's like, who lit the candle? And then Mary starts sniffing around, and they actually do end up finding Dani.
Right.
And she's dressed as a witch, so they scare her, and she pops out. She's like, oh, dear sisters. I thought that was great improv for a kid. She's like, I summoned you. It was I who lit the candle. It's pretty cute.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would not have thought about that when I was like 11 years old. So.
Well, she's eight.
Well, I mean, even as an 8-year old.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't have thought of it like as a 39 year old.
I know.
So Mary starts progressing towards her, and she's like, she calls her a shishka baby.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they're hungry and they want to eat a baby. Not only do they absorb the life essence, but they want to literally eat babies.
I kind of have that feeling like they do just not just want to take the life essence, but they're going to do something with the bones later on.
Mm.
Or the body as we know it.
They are contributing to less waste. They're really at the forefront of the reduce, reuse, recycle farm or homestead to plate model.
As they eat children.
Yeah. And decrease the surplus population.
And make books out of the skin.
I mean, truly, truly, they are crunchy in a way that most of us aren't. And the kids themselves are literally crunchy, I assume, after proper roasting.
Applauders, Shocked and Applaud does not approve of any cannibalistic actions taken at the suggestion of this podcast or any movie that may be discussed therein upon.
Got to cover that on legal basis.
Don't be eating babies. Shocked and Applaud.
Oh, and so they take her to the chair, and they're talking about like they make a joke, and then she laughs wildly like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And then there's this really nice shot of like the camera being in the chair, and then it looks up at Mary and looks up at Winifred and goes to Sarah. And it's like you're getting Danny's POV, mm-hmm. and you can feel how they're towering over her. And it's like, it's very quick, but like it was like there's a lot of like choices that this movie takes that just makes it feel like And you know how we're kind of like obsessed with realism in film?
Yeah. And they only do it for two characters. We get Danny's POV a couple times, and we get Salem's POV. And it's always the vulnerable.
Salem or Binks?
Dang it. Applauders, I never get the names right. Yeah. Okay. Binks, we get Binks's POV, we get Danny's POV. They're both vulnerable characters. And it puts us as the viewer in the vulnerable position. I think that might be what they're using it for.
Right. But it's just these little touches that really make the movie pop. And it makes it feel like I'm not just... So one of my biggest frustrations about making movies like realistic in like the... You have to feel like if you were in that moment, it feels real to you. It feels like the realism that they're that a lot of filmmakers are focusing on is aesthetics instead of like, this is realistically what someone would do. Like realism in character dialogue and character development, that makes sense. But like realism for the aesthetic purpose of just realism makes me feel like I'm kind of watching a play without all of the bells and whistles that theater production can have. So it's like, I really like those small little touches where you can show, you know, film language and really show what film language can do.
Yeah, like when we're running through the forest with Binks, we've experienced it so much in film now that we don't recognize it. But there was a time when, you know, you watching somebody run across the field is not the same thing as like a handheld camera that can follow somebody through the kind of Mad Hat pace of escaping or running to something.
Right. And like some of the handheld camera techniques, that shuttering or that jostling that goes on, it's too much of that is ultimately going to take someone out of the film. But like in running in a forest, that's the perfect time to kind of utilize it.
Thank goodness this was made pre-Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you guys remember watching Cloverfield?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I got so sick watching that.
I know.
So much shaky cam.
But it's like all of it. Like,
yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. And like even on the times when it's, see, now you could justify not using shaky cam and everything with Cloverfield if you just had the person like put their camera down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just be like, I got to do all this stuff and it's still recording and everything. So, yeah, there are other ways of like kind of justifying it inside the film itself. But I mean.
We can just scroll past the fact that they had one of my favorite childhood racist candies on the counter. It's called the Cherry Clan Candy, and it was basically Cherry Sours before Cherry Sours got a much better name than Cherry Clan Candy. Little Asian stereotypes with like the little, conical hats.
Yeah.
Bad. I didn't realize as bad it was. I would never buy those now. But like back in the early 90s, late 80s, they were my summer camp jam, and I'm sorry. But we grow as people. Mm-hmm. We admit our mistakes. Mm-hmm. We don't buy racist candy anymore.
Correct.
Except for Nerds, which I serve to my spouse, because that's just inclusivity.
All right. So they're about to make a potion so they can suck out Danny's life force. And that's when Max like says, don't or stop. And he comes out and he's trying to be, you know, big brother protector.
So Winnie zaps him.
Yep. And she zaps him like slaps him down to the floor, slaps him down to the wall. And that's when Allison comes in with a broom and hits Mary.
Well, there's a cat attack, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, a broom to the Mary.
Yeah.
And then she follows it up real quick.
With a cast iron to Sarah.
And that Tangled.
That's why you always have a cast iron skillet on your stove in case you get like witches coming in or just, you know, you just need to use blunt force trauma on someone. But with all of the commotion, Max comes up and he like Allison gets Danny away and Max goes up to one of the tops and he's like, I am the great, powerful Max and I can command burning rain and I'm going to cast a burning rain of fire. And then he takes the lighter and he
raining fire of death,
burning rain of fire of death is what I wrote down.
OK.
And so he flicks on the lighter and Winifred's like, he casts fire into his hands. And then he like puts it over a water sprinkler, like one of those like fire sprinklers that are in like
public businesses. Mostly you can get them in apartments sometimes.
Yeah. I was going to say apartment because I saw Shirley yesterday. And
she's got sprinklers in her apartment.
So yeah. I noticed that because she had talked about how there was like a fire emergency and she would try to get downstairs.
Yeah, yeah. But they're pretty secure.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about her. The only time they've had a fire drill, whenever they had a fire alarm, somebody burnt something in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And nothing really happened.
Yeah. But so he starts the water from all the sprinklers and it rains down on them. They're like, ah!
Move, you fools! Yeah. And when he ushers them out of the room, and then he goes to run out the door and he slips in a puddle, and then the cat lands on him and he's like, good going, Max. And he's like, ah! And he's like, yeah, whatever.
Grab the book. Grab the book.
And he does, to his credit.
He breaks it out of the case, takes it, and they all go fleeing.
The scene is so quick.
Yeah.
And then they're running out the door. The witches realize, they're like, when he goes, oh, it's just water.
And Mary's like, quite refreshing. And then she drinks some of it, and then she pats it on the sides of her face. It's really cute.
Oh, and then Mary just like opens her tongue and is like, ah. Okay, so my dad was a firefighter and I brought it up a lot of times. That water is sitting in there. This place has been abandoned for shut down for 2 years. And the water probably never went through the system in those preceding years.
Right. So it's actually going to come out a little bit brown.
It's going to be rusty and gross, which is fine for putting out a fire.
Yeah.
But not tasty or clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the science breaks down.
Maybe for like 1693, it was pretty clean water.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Mm, tastes a little metally, but yeah, it's very refreshing.
And they're probably iron deficient.
Yeah. That's why the cast iron really comes in handy. Mm-hmm. So they run. Bink says to go to the cemetery because it's hallowed ground and they'll be safe there.
Oh, the cat says it's hallowed ground. We need to get in there. And the girls go, huh? And Max goes, he talks. And they're all like, okay.
But back at the house, the Sanderson sisters.
Who are they?
What?
The Mary says, who are they?
Oh, no, this is before because what happens is they come out of the house and then they do that walk towards the road and then they get stopped because they're like, it's a black river, and they push Sarah into it and she's like, ah!
Oh, it's hard as a rock. And then she dances around because as long as she doesn't get hurt, she doesn't care.
Right. So they and Winifred's like, it's a road. And so they head out. And as soon as they come closer to civilization, they scream and run away.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny because it's like the culture shock of like, you know, modern day versus like 300 years ago.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, they did say when he lit the sprinkler on, they're like, he summons fire with his hands.
Yeah.
Like, you've been to hell. Are you super surprised?
Right.
Whatever. The animation on Binks's face when he talks is pretty fantastic.
I'm surprised it still holds up as well as it does.
Perfectly. The only thing I would ever, like, even slightly, his ears wiggle in a way that a cat doesn't, but I've never seen a cat speak English or any other human language. So, like, maybe their ears would wiggle like so.
Right.
But it's super believable.
So, So they're in the sanctuary and there's like this whole big lore dump of like, this is William Butcherson and he used to be Winifred's lover until she found him, you know, with her sister. A fun fact, in Hocus Pocus 2, they actually address that.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for it.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying is Winifred caught Sarah with Billy.
Yeah. And so she like cursed him and sewed his mouth shut.
She still loves her sister, but she's mad at the man. And you have to admit, solidarity.
Right. And they talk about some other stuff. It's just kind of like this, a bit of like a lore dump.
Mm-hmm.
And so Binks talks about like how he was cursed and he's been around trying to guard it until some airheaded virgin lit the candle. This movie brings up virginity so much.
But you know what we can do?
What?
Move it right along.
Yeah.
So the witches show up.
Right. And they show up on their brooms.
Yes. And she's like, Winifred at some point goes, she's like, it's all just a bunch of hocus pocus. Like, she heard him say it before they busted in the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, roll credits.
Yeah.
And now they're just running around a graveyard because although the witches can't set foot on hallowed ground, they can dive bomb it a whole lot.
Yeah. And Winifred then goes ahead and calls Billy Butcherson back to life.
Okay. So here's my problem. Here's where the science is a problem. And we don't have to linger.
Right.
But they can't step foot on hallowed ground, but they can cast spells into it.
Yes. That, I mean, it makes sense to me.
How?
How? Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not stepping foot into it.
But you can cast spells on it?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very wholly protective.
I mean,
it at least protects those that are resting in their graves from being
turned into a zombie and brought back like Billy?
Well, I mean, she could have done something to Billy to make him, like, because, like, it said that she had cursed him and sewed his mouth shut. I think that's what Binks had said.
Don't you think it's rude that they just left it? They were like, oh, he got killed by a witch. We're going to keep his mouth sewn shut.
Yeah.
Just put him in the ground real quick.
Yeah, real quick. Well, he was cursed is what I'm thinking. All right. I could have that wrong.
That's okay.
But yeah, like, I mean, if it's supposed to be holy, I could see why you would be like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like they would be able to cast because hallowed ground literally means holy ground.
Right. So if I put a password on my computer, but you could have all the data inside of it. What the hell is the use of the password?
Well, I would think that it's not like you have access to all the data. Huh. Like if the worst thing that they can do is bring zombies back to life. And like we see Billy as he's walking around later on, you know, they're pretty easy to take care of. So,
because they're not Romero zombies,
right?
That's what I'm
saying.
They're
Disney zombies. But let's talk about the important thing in this scene. Can we talk about the most important thing in this scene?
Dude, tell me, what's the most important thing about this scene?
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones.
Doug, we love you so much. I'm gonna check if you're on Cameo right now. I need to know. Inquiring minds need.
I mean, could you imagine getting a Cameo from Doug Jones? So glad to hear about your guys' Hocus Pocus review. Could you imagine that during the recording?
For $64.99, we can have Doug Jones say something for our podcast. How much is in our Patreon fund?
Oh, definitely that much. Maybe he should. He could do the outro for me.
Okay, generally there's a rule about not
promoting stuff.
Like you're not calling them to there's a different contract for like advertising work,
right?
But if we're like, hey, we're a hobby podcast, could we use your audio clip from Cameo just on our podcast? And no, like we're not selling anything, we don't have merch, we don't have advertisers.
I would feel
I wouldn't want to abuse Doug Jones, right? That would never happen.
I would love to get his endorsement of our podcast someday. I just don't know if we could do it
via Cameo.
Via Cameo, because that's like generally like an actor is like sending a personal message to someone. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to say, "Hey, Doug Jones, I want you to send a personal message to my best friend Lydia, who's going to be watching. Just say Happy Halloween to my friend Lydia, or my podcasting partner." Could drop it in like that.
Well, I know that on Podchaser, we've had staff get cameos for like business meetings, but we're not then promoting that cameo anywhere on the website.
Right. So we
probably. That's where it gets tricky.
Yeah. So.
Doug Jones, I'm going to tag you in this somewhere. And I just want you to know that I love you and I would not abuse you, but we talk about you a lot on this podcast.
This is our third movie, I believe, with Doug Jones, because we had, he was in Batman Returns as random scary clown who worked for the Penguin. Mm-hmm. And then he was also in Pan's Labyrinth and
Lady in the Water.
He was in oh, that's right. This is our fourth. I'm going to scratch that on my notes. It's not number three. It's number four.
At least number four.
I mean, he's probably in every movie we've ever done as
He's in every podcast we've ever done because Doug Jones is in our heart.
Always. He wasn't in Mirror Mask, was he?
No, that was more British.
That was more British people. Yeah. Side note, if they ever make a live action Nightmare Before Christmas, Doug Jones should totally play. Should totally play like Doug Jones, the actor, not just the like guy who does like no dubbing over.
Oh, yeah.
No dubbing over his voice because he could totally pull it off.
Yes.
Doug Jones should play the Pumpkin Skelly. King. Yeah, that would be great.
I also dubbed this scene Trapper Crypt Keeper 90s style.
The pattern of Billy's mouth being sewed shut is in the pattern of an XII for Roman numerals 13.
Well, that sounds cursey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That was just a shock fact.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So Billy, William Butcherson, aka Billy, comes back to life and he climbs out of he like opens up the grave and he like Sarah's just like, Billy, hi. And he's just like, hi.
And then Winifred's like, hey, Billy.
And he's just like, rah. And she's like, go and get them and make sure you bring back my book. And so he's chasing them throughout the entire movie. And it's so much fun to watch because at one point he gets it, like so many points he gets his head popped off.
Yeah, at least twice.
Yeah, and he has to go find it.
Yes. As he and I missed this during my note taking walkthrough, but when we rewatched it just for fun and loving the movie, like he does these kinds of like dramatic swirls and spins in the crypt as he's chasing them. It's just a delight to watch. He's like a ballerina.
Yeah, it's classic Doug Jones. Have you ever seen the first season of What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah.
You know Baron Afanoff?
Is that the oldest guy?
Yeah.
Is that Doug Jones?
That's Doug Jones.
Have you seen the new season, season 4?
No, I haven't. I'm going to watch
Child
it.
Child of God.
Yeah.
There's a ton of him in it.
Oh, yes. I hoped he was going to come back.
And like he's like fully restored. Like you see more Doug Jones than you do vampire makeup.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
But okay.
Happy
so,
Halloween, Lid.
Yay. I'm gonna totally watch that later this month. But like here's my little side stint and then we can move on with Doug Jones. So why would we want to?
No, this is now a Doug Jones podcast.
No, a Doug Jones podcast. So when I was watching the episode where he first comes on, he's like, he attacks one of the familiars. And then he like comes over and he's like, what is it? He's making a lot of these hand motions that Doug Jones makes where he's like, you know, kind of like curling his fingers and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that Doug Jones? I wonder if that's Doug Jones. I should probably check it up on IMDb. I'll do it after the episode. And then he sees the camera because it's all like a mockumentary and he starts mugging for the camera. And I was like, oh, I think that's Doug Jones. I was just like, yes, it was. And I was so happy about it. Ah. Okay. I guess we can move on.
So Mary can't smell the kids anymore because they've moved too far away through the crypt that leads to the sewers, and Banks exposits about it before they like actually get chased by Billy.
This is where I caught mice.
All right, great. You know all about it. Ex machina. So, yeah. Mary says, dear sisters, I can't impersonate her, but like she says something like, dear sisters, considering the extent of how crazy this evening might get, I believe that it would behoove us to do a calming circle. And Winifred's like, I am calm. Yes. And then she sighs and she's like, okay.
Mary specifically says, I don't think thou wast just being honest with thyself, which is very like 90s therapy.
Yes. And so they form a circle and they're like the Black Death, and they go in a circle and they're like chanting with each other.
All these macabre things that are supposed to calm them down.
Yes. They end on two things. Mother's scorpion pie. And then they step into a line and they go, Mother.
Yeah. And then a bus shows up.
And when he's like, what is no, the guy. OK, so I wrote it down as Babu Bubu, I'm in trouble. Except it's Bubble Bubble, I'm in trouble. Yeah. Enter the grossest bus driver you've ever met in the whole of your life.
Yes, true. Because he's like flirting with them. And Mary and Winifred are very obviously Twitter pated, while Sarah's just like, like in that ditzy blonde kind of way from
right.
You always saw in the 90s.
Which is nice because I feel like the right. Other two could have been taken in by the flattery.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like he gives them free fare.
Well, Winifred's like, what is a bus? And he's like, oh, it's a vessel that will transport you to your darkest desires. And they're like, ooh.
And then he's like, what do you desire tonight?
Children.
It might take me a couple of tries, but I could do it. Like, what the?
Put that guy on a boat and send him far away from me.
It's just like,
serious.
So gross. But here's the thing. They get free bus fare. They do not have to pay for this.
Okay, so that's 1993. It is 2022. I gave bus fare to my brother today. It is $2.
Wow. I remember when it was like under a dollar back in the 90s.
Yeah, it used to be 75 cents. But like, here's the thing.
Like, public options are ultimately going to be more cheaper than private options. Private options are only for people who really, really, really like capitalism.
Yeah, but an Uber's really nice when you're in a really big, like, vacation city.
That's true. I wouldn't know. I go on big. I don't go on.
We'll
vacation.
Go. You and me. We'll get out of town sometime.
At some point,
I would like that.
Yeah. So they come out of the sewer system. Binks pops out of a sewer grate, and that's when I wrote down bus driver of doom.
Yeah. Sarah is sitting on the bus driver's lap. Yeah.
That's how they get free fare.
Yeah. And then they run over Binks.
Yeah.
And the bus driver goes, ooh, speed bump.
And she's like, speed bump, honk. But here's the thing. When you see it, you see like actual flat cat And then all the kids come out of the sewer. Danny's like, being snow. And then
weeping, actively weeping.
Yeah. And then he inflates back to life.
I told you, I can't die.
In this scene, you don't actually see him hit, but you do see a flattened cat on the pavement, Sean says. The cat then reinflates into a living cat again. The scene was shot in cuts and was accomplished with a fake cat and a special effects cat in addition to the real cat.
I'm so glad that they didn't use a real cat.
No vehicle was close to the real cat.
No animals were harmed in the making of this movie.
And the credits do go on to say that there was a person present to supervise all cat. Anytime there was an animal on set, there was somebody to supervise and that none of them were ever put in harm's way.
Correct.
Which is nice. Yeah. You know how we feel.
Yeah.
You see a little one-up mushroom on Binks's head.
What was that music that you called out the other day? I was watching Dead End, that paranormal cartoon on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cute. You might check it out. But like in the beginning scene, they're running through the amusement park, the haunted amusement park. And as the main character, Barney, is jumping over stuff, it goes, bwee, bwee, ding, 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 ding. I love that. I want that for my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drink a cup of coffee. It goes,
you do parkour and every time and you just have your shoes. So whenever you hop off something, it's like, ding, ding, ding.
You jump and spin and it makes that collecting a coin noise.
Yeah.
It's like every time somebody reveals something to me, I want it to go doo 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 doo.
Yes, that would make training for a job so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I have that in my inventory and you just like pull up your information.
You know what? I would love to have a soundtrack for my life. So whenever I know that I should be wary of someone because they have bad intentions for me, ominous music plays in the background.
Have you heard that meme that's like having anxiety is like boss music playing even though it's like, the boss never comes?
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate to my experience. Yeah.
Okay, so the sisters end up getting dropped off.
Because Mary smells children.
Mm-hmm. And as they leave, the bus driver's like, can I get your number? Can I give you my route schedule?
And you wouldn't like me in the morning.
Oh, I wouldst. And then Winifred comes in and says, no, thou wouldn'st. And he's like, party pooper.
And she goes,
yeah.
In the best snooty Bette Midler way.
Yeah.
And they exit the bus. But then they're inundated with hobgoblins.
But before the bus driver drives away, Sarah says, farewell, mortal bus boy. It's so cute.
She is so cute in this.
But here's the thing. They see all these hobgoblins.
And they start freaking out.
Mary smells children, but she doesn't see any children.
Right. And a little angel runs by. She turns and does a curtsy. And she goes, bless you. And all three of them are like,
it's so great. And they're freaking out. And then you see this guy in a Satan costume and he like cackles.
And they're like, master! I love these like extreme moments where they're like scared for their life and then they're super overjoyed.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And this is Gary Marshall. This is the actual director, Gary Marshall. He's not the director of the film. He's just like
a amazing director.
Yeah, so he's a filmmaker, but he's also an actor. He was in A League of Their Own from like the 1992s.
Like an old white guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense because, I mean, we're about to meet her, but Penny directed A League of Her Own.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they were married for like a hot second. So.
Oh, just a second?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like their marriage was like pretty well known. And I think I know more about Penny Marshall's discography than Gary Marshall's. But it looks like he was more of an actor and a filmmaker more than a director. So
Lucifer and the sisters are reunited and he says, come inside to the no smoking section.
Right.
But while they're doing that, hey, let's find an authority figure to help us out.
Right. That makes sense. We should go to the police and, you know, let them know that we've unleashed these terrifying creatures and they could, you know, really hurt people. So they rush up to the first cop they see. And what happens, Naomi?
So Max info dumps on this cop who's sitting on a motorcycle outside of a liquor store. And he's all like, okay, so I lit a candle. The Sanderson sisters are back. We need help because they're going to eat all of the children. They're going to absorb the life out of all the children and everybody's in immediate danger. And the cop is like, okay, no. And then Danny's like, no, it's totally true. He's a virgin and he lit a candle and now we're all in trouble. And the cop leans in and he goes, tell me, son, are you a virgin? And he's all like, I'll get it tattooed on my forehead.
Like it's they're just hammering this one joke in over and over and over again. And I'm like, how is this supposed to be funny as a teenager? If there's any teens who are listening to this podcast,
please don't talk to us about your virginity.
Yeah. But also like if you don't have sex until after high school, that's okay. In fact, it's probably better if you wait until after high school.
I mean, get yourself emotionally, socially, and physically ready and then address it.
Yeah.
But not a second before then. And if you're involving another person in that, make sure that they are also socially, emotionally, and physically ready to engage. But here's my issue is I would straight up lie. I mean, like, here's the thing. You probably shouldn't lie to a cop. But if it's about something supernatural, feel free to lie to a cop. Hey, there are these three ladies. They are after us. They're insane. We are in danger. We need your help. Okay, that's not a straight up lie.
Right.
But it's close to not the truth enough.
Right.
But it could get you help.
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to be like, oh, the fire starter is after me. It can be this little girl's lighting fires everywhere. Could you come help me?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Like, especially like this is not a world where magic is well known. It's more.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. Like our world.
Yeah.
But then it does exist. And if you were to just like randomly, if I were just to, you know, like unleash a demon, if I were to unleash the demon god Cthulhu, I mean,
I hear that's part of your 20-year plan.
Yes. I mean, like, hopefully before I'm 59. But if that were to happen and I suddenly needed help, I would probably be going to the police and saying, hey, we got a serial killer who's killing people regularly and eating them. And he for whatever reason, he's in this, like, you know, octopus mask. Is really weird. I don't know why he's doing it. Maybe he's trying to, you know, hide his identity. But if you see someone walking around with, like, you know, tentacles coming down from their face, it's a mask. And you gotta, like, arrest him or at least ask him some questions.
I'd be like, I'm an amateur seismologist and I was taking readings off the coast and something came up on my radar that was way huge, but I saw it topple another boat. Coast Guard, could you come help me check it out?
Yeah.
Cthulhu thwarting. Wow, that got off track. Okay. Hey, there's Doug Jones Billy comes out of the sewer at this point.
Oh, yeah.
He gets his manhole gets run over by, is it the bus? Not the bus again. It's by something else.
It's by the cop. So after the scene with the kids, after the scene with the kids, the guy's girlfriend comes out and he's laughing. She's like,
and he's like, get along and take your cat with you. And they run away.
And then his girlfriend, and he's laughing, ha ha ha. And his girlfriend comes out and is like, what's so funny? And he's like, oh, these kids were giving me a bad time. So
they thought I was an actual cop.
They were pulling my leg.
Yeah.
And they thought that I was a real cop. But I'm not. And then when he drives off, you see Billy coming out and the motorcycle goes over the manhole and then it snaps off his fingers.
Yeah. And in the same way that his head gets kicked off, mm-hmm. but then like gets put back on.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't show us him attaching his fingers, but they must snap on the same way.
Because they're on later.
Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah. Doug Jones finger gag.
Yeah.
Priceless.
Back to Satan Gary Marshall.
So the ladies are running around the house. I think my grandma's china is in there, by the way.
He says, oh, I gotta introduce you to the little woman. And Mary's like, Winifred's like, he has a little woman.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And they come around the corner and they see the curlers in the woman's hair. And Mary's like, he hath married Medusa. See the serpents in her hair.
Yes. And that's Penny Marshall with the curlers and everything.
She is not into this whole Halloween thing. He's all super decked out.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun. She's smoking and drinking and eating a bowl of cheese curls. And
yeah.
I'm like, I love this woman.
Yeah.
So Winnie goes into the kitchen and is like, oh, a torture chamber. And I'm like, even with all the modern appliances, you would recognize a kitchen.
Right. Maybe that's how she sees a kitchen is a torture chamber. Maybe she only eats children.
Okay.
I don't know. Right. Mary watches the commercial of the baby running around with the watches this commercial of a baby running
around.
She starts
eating cheese curls.
And she's like, ah, this is so much fun. And then Sarah asks,
Master, wouldst thou dance with me? And then she turns her head coyly to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
Yeah. So he dances with her. And then for whatever reason, Penny Marshall goes upstairs and then she comes back downstairs.
She's like, hey, I lost 3 pounds according to the bathroom. And then she sees Lucifer dancing with Sarah, and right. they're all like super snugged up, and she's like, "All right, party's over, all of you out of my house." And Mary and Sarah are like, "You shouldn't talk to Satan like that." And he's all like, "They call me master." She's like, "I guess what I'm going to call you." And then Winifred, she's like, "Get out." Winifred's like, "Make us." And she's like, "Ralph." And Ralph is this little corgi who's dressed like a little devil dog. He looks like remember the Scotty dogs from Coraline?
Yeah.
When they're bats?
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine those wings red and it's a corgi.
Yeah.
And he's just like, raw, 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 and they all run out of the house. It's so cute.
He has his name on his bed.
Yeah.
It's adorable. That. Yeah.
Oh, they walk outside and all of a sudden Winnie has recognized that they're like, "Oh, the master." And she's like, "That wasn't our master. These aren't goblins. They're children. For some reason, All Hallows Eve has turned into a party."
Right. And like their brooms are missing because what we didn't mention is mm-hmm. that there's these three little girls dressed up as the Sanderson sisters.
With the same colors, the mm-hmm. same lipstick, curly hair, the hair color's the same.
The teeth in front for Winnie. It was so cute. And they grab like, "Oh, brooms." And so they grab them and then you hear them whoosh fly off.
Yes.
They're just walking off camera though.
The children are just gone. They fly now. And if you found a broom, would you Kiki's Delivery Service yourself out of this whole situation?
Yes. I would have been like, "I'm on a broom and it flies."
I would be like, "I will see you guys later." And you wouldn't see me for a while.
I would probably become a delivery girl on a broom.
I would become a cat burglar and honestly transient sort of like drifter type.
Yeah. When Winifred says, so they, Mary is like, "Oh, it's a bar from a man named Clark." And then she eats and she's like, "Oh, it's candy." She's like, "Yes, because all of this is a farce." And so Winifred grabs one of the kids, pulls off a mask, and it is a kid. And when he runs off, I swear he says weird.
Yeah.
And I say that because you hear weirdo. And I say that because when like the next line that's said is by Sarah, because she repeats everything. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly hear her saying weirdo, but her mouth is saying weird ass.
Yes.
So it's like, I think that was like a do over that they did, because there's like other moments where they think that like bad words are taken out.
Yeah. It's only a couple times.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure. Yeah. We got the doctored version on Disney Plus.
Yes. This is also the scene with amok, amok, amok line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, everybody's running amok. Amok, 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 amok.
Probably my most quoted line from this movie. Okay, so the kids, having run away from the not cop, make it to City Hall where Danny and Max's parents are at a Halloween party.
Right. And Max's dad is dressed up as Dracula. Oh, excuse me, Dracula.
Yeah, there's a band playing and they're all dressed up as skeletons and I love it.
Yes, it's great.
Mm-hmm. If I get married again, we're having a skeleton band, Jen.
Yay!
I mean, we are married, but if we
renew your vows.
Yeah. Skeleton band.
Can they play that? The dancing skeletons from Disney?
Yeah.
Super scary skeletons go dreaming down the farm. Oh, have you guys seen that remix of it with the guy in the black leotard?
And he's got pumpkin head?
Yeah. It's like a full-on remix.
I joined Reddit when that was all that they did.
Yeah.
For like all of Spooktober. I'm glad I'm not on Spooktober side of Reddit this year, but it was pretty good that one year I was.
Yeah. That only comes up on Tumblr like around this time of year. So, but I really enjoy it. Every now and then I just am like, yeah, I just want to watch that. Because the original, like the remix has, it's a remix of Spooky Scary Skeletons, but the original has a guy doing Ghostbusters. Yeah.
So. Spooky skeletons?
No, that's
I'm
not.
I'm sure better than that, Lydia. I know.
No, it's not. The remix doesn't have anything to do with Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just a remix song of Spooky Scary Skeletons. Yeah. So. Oh, but their mom is Madonna and she's got that cone bra.
They run as they're running and they're like, "How will we ever find them?" Whatever. They find them right away.
Yeah. And so
the dad says to Allison, "Who is this beautiful young blood donor?" And kisses her hand.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't kiss children you don't know.
Yeah.
It's real weird.
Uh-huh. And so they go ahead and explain everything that's going on. And then the Sanderson sisters find them.
Okay. But also remember, this is the scene where Danny's explaining to mom, Madonna, "Well, he's a virgin and he lit a candle. And it's not like I'm ODing on candy." And I'm like, OD out of an 8-year-old's mouth?
No. Her mom goes, "How much candy have you had?" And she's like, "I haven't OD'd on it."
Right. Yeah. But then she also mentions her brother's a virgin. And it's like,
missed opportunity. Mom could have said, "What, like a virgin?
That was left on the cutting room floor. That was just too much, too much. That was probably with the Disney censorship. They were like, I'm sorry, we can't put in like a virgin, but we'll go ahead and talk about ODing on candy.
Okay, so the family all together now, and they're all bickering, and this is when the sisters come in, and Max runs up on stage and grabs the microphone and is like, hey, everybody, listen to me. 300 years ago, and then he explains what is taught in the public schools every year to everyone there their whole lives. He is teenage-splaining to the very town that he's been in for a week. What's going on? And although that is ridiculous, it starts the best scene in the entire film.
Okay, so Winifred was a theater kid. Like, they probably had like maybe a few plays that took place when she was a kid. But I like to think that she was like all for theater when she was younger. Like, I remember like some of the plays that I did before high school. And like, theater has always kind of been in my life. My parents couldn't get that out. Sometimes they did actually encourage it, which is where I'm at right now. So that's why you don't encourage your child's interests unless they line up with your own. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Sorry. That was, never mind. That was
Lydia. No, keep it dark. It's Halloween.
No, no. Anyways, so my whole theory is that Winifred is a whole big theater nerd. Mm-hmm. And because when she walks in, the band starts playing I Put a Spell on You. So that has to be playing a little bit before their introduction. Mm-hmm. But then when Max says that, the spotlight gets right on them. And then Winifred comes back and says, thank you, Max, for that marvelous introduction. And like, her improv instincts just kick in. Mm-hmm. And she knows exactly what she needs to do. We've already set up the fact that they sing to control people, mm-hmm. to put spells on people. Mm-hmm. And so when they start singing, it's probably learned in school that, you know, you're not supposed to listen to the Sanderson sisters, blah, blah, blah. And the kids like nope out of there while the parents are listening to this wonderful like musical number. If this is how all the musical numbers are in the musical, I would feel happy.
Oh, it could be so good.
Could be so good, because this is like, applauders, if you've never seen it and you have no desire to watch anything in this movie, just go to YouTube and Google Hocus Pocus, I Put a Spell on You.
Mm-hmm.
And you
enjoy will that for yourself.
Enjoy it, because it is so flipping good.
And we won't sing for you the whole time, but in the middle, I Put a Spell on You, Now You're Mine. Mm-hmm. I put in, okay. But
they work the lyrics around a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. And then they do what I pretend is fake Latin in the middle of it. And none of us wrote it down unless it's in the Sean facts. Okay. So if one of you wants to Google it, I will now fake what I think they're saying.
Okay. Give me a second. I'll let you know when I've Googled it.
Okay. But you can't read it because you have to fake it too.
Oh, well, then why are you asking me to Google it?
Well, Google it, and then you'll be ready to say what it actually is when it's time.
Sounds to me like a cheerleader cheer.
Well, then fake it like a cheerleader when it's your turn.
I have to go, too?
Yeah. Yes.
Are we going to find the real one, too?
I'm looking at that right now. Mm-hmm.
Love living in 2022. Google it all the time.
Okay, I got the lyrics. So.
Okay. I'll go first so that you are less embarrassed by the task I've put before you.
Okay.
Apse itzawai anameni ixitai.
That sounds pretty close. It sounds pretty close.
Okay. Other one of you. Aksani winawanis. You know, like that. Okay, what do you do it now?
Jen?
S-H-I-T-Y.
You ain't got no alibi.
S-H-I-T-Y, Jen?
I had to make it line up.
You just never have to bleep yourself.
Or I could have just done like S-H-I-T-T. No, I can't do it. Can't do it. Am I allowed to spell things without it getting bleeped?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So I'm going to say it.
No, you got to fake it. Fake it first.
You wanted me to look up the lyrics.
Oh, come on. Fake it.
Okay. So.
Hey, Mickey.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Your best fake Latin. It's a dead language. Like, you're going to offend anybody.
I mean, yeah, I will probably offend someone.
Well, it is the internet.
Smart people.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All of those Harvard graduates who listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So. I just got to get into the headspace. So.
Okay. Yeah. Breathe through it.
Hot say it's a phi, alpha, sigma, theta, phi.
Okay. That sounds like the most legit. There were real words I recognized in there.
Well, those are what do you call them?
They're numerals.
No, but it's sororities or frats, fraternities. That's it. Okay. Yes. So, say into pi alpha maybe up and I. That's what's on geniuslyrics.com or genius.com, place that has all of the lyrics.
Okay.
In comma Koriyama.
In comma Koriyama.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Say.
Say.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. It's great.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
Thank you for putting up with that. I'm so sorry, Lydia. I don't mean to stress
you out. I'm sure you are.
I am. Oh, do you find it confusing that she understands what a mic is right away?
Oh, yeah.
And the girls understand what a mic is right away?
Yeah.
They just fall in line?
Like, this is what I'm talking about, like, when they're saying, yes, improv. They can see, like, people singing at these black things, and then they walk up to them.
Oh, and just imitate it.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, because, like, they, like, how would she know the song I Put a Spell on You unless they introduced it to her? Like right before it actually came up, and it was like the first real song that she heard, but it was also like the last thing that she heard, and so she was able to kind of like, you know, mimic it.
Mm-hmm.
And like there are some people,
that all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you are like Winifred, only minus the child eating.
Hey, let's get a zombie into this dance party because it chases the kids right out into the alleyway.
Alrighty, and they do. They go run in, and they Max does the like, oh no!
And he just kicks a trash can.
Yeah, but he
like he's like, we're trying to be subtle.
Yeah,
kicks a trash can, right. And then a guy comes out into the alleyway, so they hide. Right,
right.
And then what? Halloween open seafood restaurants keeps their lobsters in the alley?
The ones in Salem.
Yep, totally. Anyways, he talks. The guy coming into the alleyway, he's like, "Oh, who's going in?" Blah blah blah. Grabs a lobster, walks out, and then the witches come, and they're like,
"Mary smelling?"
And yeah, yeah. And she goes, "I smell. Yes, I smell. Yes, I smell. Scrod." And she's like, "Winnie's like, what? Yeah, you know, it's a little bottom dweller. It tastes good with breadcrumbs and a little margarine. Although I don't know how she'd know what margarine is." And or like olive oil. And then they like, she's like, idiots, and like marches them away.
Right. Scrod is lobsters.
Is that your shot in fact?
No, I'm trying to figure out where Sarah eats the spider. Is that still coming up?
Oh,
that happened a while ago.
That happened a while ago with the fireman.
Oh.
So earlier back when the fire,
they're like stupid kids.
The sprinklers. Back when the sprinklers went off, you know, the firemen showed up. The sisters were hiding as the firemen are leaving, being like, oh, stupid kids.
If you think it would flow better, you can put it at the end.
No, I'll just say, Sean says the Hocus Pocus 25th anniversary Halloween bash of 2018, Sarah Jessica Parker revealed that she actually ate a spider.
Like a literal spider?
Like a literal spider.
A literal spider.
It's not like they had like a zoom in on it. Like,
no.
Why do something like that unless you're just very committed to your role?
She is a secret method actor.
Spellbinding a plotter? You're now 2/3 of the way through our review and walkthrough of Disney's 1993 classic, Hocus Pocus. While you wait for our final installment, how about checking out some of our guest appearances? For Cinema Recall's De Palma December of 2020, we discussed another film we've reviewed, Phantom of the Paradise. We also were guests on I Drink Your Podcast to discuss Across the Universe. Check out links to these appearances in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and, when painting, someone who wears a smock, a smock, a smock, a smock, Jen! I'm a firm believer in supporting local artists, and what's more local than your ear holes? You can become an official applauder for only $1 per month, which will get you full access to our entire unbleeped catalog of episodes. We're super excited to now have the Vern from Cinema Recall as an applauder, and you can do the same by visiting shockedandapplaud.com and clicking the Become an Applauder link at the top. We'll be back in 1 week for part 3 of our discussion of this 90s family-friendly comedy. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.